Welcome to the Kli Ocher Shir Parshas Noso. And I wanted to start tonight with a Kli Ocher, the beginning of Perek Hey. Sukkim there say Vaidavar Hashem Moshe Lemar Savas Bnei Yisrael Yishalchem Min Amachane Kol Sarua V'Chozo V'Chol Tomei Lo Nofesh. Right, command the Jewish people that they should send out from the camp anyone who's a Mitzora, again, someone who's stricken with Saras, anyone who's a Zov, usually translated as someone who's gonorrhea, in other words, somebody who has a certain tuss which is emitted from his reproductive organ, and anyone who's become Tomei through contact with a dead body. And we know Rashi tells us that the dinim of these three individuals are different one from another. They're not all sent out of the same machaneh. Each one is sent out of a different set of machanos. So the Mitzora in the Midbar was sent outside of all three camps. In other words, he couldn't come into the Mishkan. He couldn't come into the Machaneh Leviyah, which surrounded the Mishkan. And indeed, he was sent out of the entire camp, which, you know, in later day times corresponded to the Mitzora being sent out of the any walled city in Eretz Yisrael. It was sent outside of the Jewish community in its entirety. The Zav, in a not a walled city, he is allowed. In other words, the walled cities are considered to have the dinim of the Machaneh Yisrael, but an unwalled city, he would be allowed to be there. Okay, how you explain that hashkafically, you have to figure out. But I'll call pardon. The Zav was sent out of the Machaneh Leviyah. He was allowed to be in the Machaneh Yisrael, right? But he was not allowed to come into the Machaneh Leviyah, which in later day times meant that the Zav was not allowed to be on the Har HaBayit.
Zav means what?
A person who suffers from gonorrhea, you know, some kind of pus that emerges.
Oh, so it's not like leprosy.
Right. So he had to be sent out of two machanos, the Machaneh Shechina as well as the Machaneh Leviyah. And a Tomei Lo Nefesh, in other words, somebody who has come into contact with a dead body, can be in the Machaneh Yisrael, he can be in the Machaneh Leviyah, but he's not allowed to come into the Machaneh Shechina, i.e. he can't be in the Beis HaMikdosh proper. Okay. So the Kli Ocher comments on this. Achar shesider kol gimel machanos ish al diglo. Right? It's not by accident that these dinim are introduced in Perek Hey, because in the previous prokim, the setup of the whole Machaneh Yisrael, these three camps, is described at some length, right? And after describing the setup of the Jewish Machaneh, Al-Kain, Hizkir Miyad, Seder Kedushas Gimel Machanos Eilu, Ki Asorua Meshulach Mishloshtam, Vazov Chus L'Shnai, Tomei L'Nefesh, Chus L'Machaneh Shechina. Right? So once you talk about the Kedusha of the various, you know, aspects of the Machaneh, so part of that Kedusha expresses itself in people who are not allowed to come into the Machaneh. Kedusha means Prisha, you know, being separate. So part of the Kedusha of these places is that there are certain people who are going to be excluded from these places. The Seder Shiluach Zeh Maskir L'Divrei HaMedrash HaOmer V'Yishalchu Min HaMachaneh Kol Sarua Zeh Avodah Zara V'Chol Zav Ze Gili Arayus, Kibo Mishich Vazera. V'chol Tomei Lo Nefesh, Ze Shvichus Domim. V'dorash Kol Posuk Ze Al Hagolios. The Kli Ocher quotes a fascinating Medrash. Says the Medrash, the Posuk is referring to the various sins which brought about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. V'yishalchu min ha-machaneh, that which leads to Klal Yisrael being sent out of our machaneh, are tsorua zav and tomei lo nefesh. The tsorua, the zav, and the tomei lo nefesh, metaphorically, says the Medrash, refer to the three cardinal sins in Judaism. The tsorua is associated with the idea of avodah zarah. We'll see why in a little bit. The zav is associated with gili arayos, and the Medrash explains, because after all, you know, the gonorrhea, it's a disease which relates to the Evra Zachris, it relates to the reproductive organ, so it has a connection to the idea of Gilei Arayis. And Tomei Lo Nefesh, the person who came into contact with the dead body, that calls to mind Shvichus Damim, the murder, you know, which of course means, murder means taking life from a body. Right? So this idea of sending these three people out also metaphorically represents the idea that it's these three sins which are going to cause the Jews ultimately to be exiled from their land. We know that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, as the Gemara in Yuma tells us, because of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Dam. Yeah. Is the okay? So he'll develop this medrash a little bit, that the Kliyakas. So hang in there. V'kasha Golius mandachar shemei v'chidas bal medrash zeh lahosi pasuk zeh mepshuto legami. Now I know, says the Kliyakar, a medrash is a medrash. I mean, I understand that a medrash is not pashut pshat. But, you know, even for Midrashim, even, you know, by the standards of Midrashim, this Midrash seems to be really, like, you know, out there in left field. I mean, we're talking about sending various people out of the various machanos. How do we get from there to the sins which are responsible for the Golos? I mean, this really seems, on the surface, to be a bit of a stretch. Comments to Kli Yoker. Venire Shadas Bal HaMedrash Latarit Smichas Parsha Zolakam. I don't think this Medrash is entirely divorced from Pasha Dipshat, says the Kli Yoker. I mean, obviously, again, it's obviously not Pasha Dipshat, but at the same time, you know, even something which is not Pasha Dipshat can't be totally removed from Pasha Dipshat. There has to be, even in a Medrash, there has to be a certain Pshat anchor which, you know, motivates the Medrash to say what it says. So what's the Pshat anchor over here? Says the Kli Yoker, what motivates the Medrash to say what he says is the placement of this particular set of psukim, this parsha, in the place where it is. Ki b'rosh chodesh nisan ne'amra. This parsha was obviously stated in Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year after it left Mitzrayim. Why? In Lo King, Lama Bo Hatmeimu Moshe B'Yudalid B'Nissan, V'Amru Anachnu Tmeimu L'Nefesh Adam Lama Nigara V'Gomer. Right. So, skip forward to Parshas Baloscha. Next week we have the famous Parsha of Pesach Sheni, where all of the people who are Tamei come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, "We're Tamei and therefore we're unable to bring the Karban Pesach. What should we do?" Wait a minute. Who told you that being Tomei prevented you from bringing the Karban Pesach? I mean, to us it's Pashut, but where did you get the idea from? Right? You, the people approaching Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert. Says the Kli Yoker, obviously they were working off of this Pasha over here, where it says that somebody who's Tomei Lo Nefesh is not allowed to come into the Machane Shechina. It's not even allowed to come into the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, obviously, you know, if they were Tomei, they knew that they were not allowed into the Mishkan to be able to bring the Karban Pesach. Right? So this Parsha must predate all of the events which surround the Parsha of Pesach Sheni, right? If that's the case, in Cain, Lama Hukba Parsha Zolakam. So why put this parsha here? I mean, after all, back in Sefer Vayikra, right, we already had a description of the events that surrounded that Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Those were the events that are described in Parsha Shmini in Vayikra, the events that include the unfortunate events of the death of Nadav Avihu, but the consecration of the Mishkan and the like. Presumably, this parsha was told to Moshe Rabbeinu at that time. So why wait till Sefer Bamidbar to introduce the Parsha? Why not put it back in Shmini? Says the Kli Yoker, Elevadai achar shesider ha-mishkon al-mechono v'hishra shchinoso yisparach b'socha bo la-hazirom shelo yisababu siluk ha-shchino al-yidei gimo roshei averos elu ha-mesavivin ha-churban. So the reason this parsha is here, says the Kli Yoker, is, again, like he explained previously, it's because the first couple of prakim of Sefer Bamidbar deal with the setting up of the Mishkan, the setting up of the Mishkan, the setting up of the Machane, right? The Machane is set up in the first couple of Prakim of Bamidbar. Now that the Machane has been set up, comes Perek Hay and tells the Jewish people, if you wish to keep the Machane intact, you have to send away certain people. And at that point, it's only a little jump for the Medrash to say, the people represent not just people, but they represent certain sins that are associated with these people. If you want to keep the Machane intact, you have to send away the Tzoruah, the Zav, and the Tamei Lo Nefesh. In other words, metaphorically, if you want to keep the Machane intact, you have to send away Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayos, and Shvichus Dam. Right? Al Kain Sibo Lishloach Min HaMachane Kol Tzoruah V'Kol Zav Ki Gimel Eilu Simonim Uvhokim Al Asher B'Kirbom O Shem Esmino Shel Avodah Zarah Nizru Kobo Ki Al Zeh Bo Atzoraz Kimoshiko Sav V'Egyo V'Yar Moshe Tzom Ki Foruahu V'Amru Azal Shnit Staru Kimoshiko Sav V'Mitzora Rosho Yiyem Foruah V'Alavoza Nechrov Bayis Risho. What? So he goes through the various people and their connection to the Averus one by one. Saras, says the Medrash, is connected to Avodah Zarah. Now, where do we get that idea that Saras is connected to Avodah Zarah? So he quotes a pasuk by the Egel. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu came down, he saw the people, ki foruahu, right? They were uncovered, right? What does that mean? So Chazal say foruahu means that the people broke out in Saras after the Chet HaEgel, right? And they quote the parallel pasuk by Saras that Rosho Yeh Foruah with regard to the Mitzorah. So in other words, there's a linkage in Chazal between the Mitzorah and the idea of Avodah Zarah. Hence the Medrash identifies the Mitzorah with Avodah Zarah. That, of course, as we know, is responsible for the destruction of Bayis Rishon. And he adds, it's also responsible for the destruction of Bayis Sheni. And how so? Ki Yaakov Pishlo Avdu Avodah Zarah Bayis Sheni. Even though they weren't worshipping Avodah Zarah during the Bayis Sheni, right? The Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah was removed early in the period of the Bayis Sheni. V'mekol mokom hayu bohem seif sinas chinam v'lashon hara Hashokul ka'avodah zarah, k'mo shalomdu razam in asher amu l'lshonenu nadbir, k'vosenu itanu, mi odon lanu, sh'amisapir l'lshon hara chashuv k'kofer bo'ikar. Chazal tell us that speaking l'lshon hara is equivalent to being kofer bo'ikar, to denying the very existence of God himself. So there's a connection between l'lshon hara and avodah zarah. It's also, he doesn't underscore this, but I think the connection is an obvious one. Saras and Lashon Hara are clearly connected by Chazal. So the Saras equals Avodah Zarah equals Lashon Hara chain rule, you know, is one that is firmly established in several places in Chazal, you know, to connect not only these two Averos, but to connect them by way of Mitzorah. So Vishalchu min HaMachaneh Kol Tzoruah means throw out the sin of Avodah Zarah, throw out the sin of Lashon Hara, which in a certain sense is connected to Avodah Zarah. Right. Well, because he wants to bring in Avodah Zarah because of Bayis Rishon. Right. Now, so I think though he wants to not bring in a fourth thing. So in other words, to the extent to which you can identify the sins with one another, not just to say that Saras is the punishment for this and for that, but Saras is the punishment for one sin, which is biyasod, the same thing. And as Avodah Zarah and Lashon Hara are biyasod, the same sin, you know, so by doing that he's streamlining the... Right, so he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, right, which Chazal Darshan, Asher Amru L'Lashonenu Nagbir, right, the evil people will say, our tongues will prevail. Mi adon lanu. Who's going to be the master over us to tell us what we can say and what we can't say? So in other words, a person who feels that they can talk against others indiscriminately is ultimately denying the notion that God is limiting what he's supposed to be saying. Right? Let's explain that a little bit more. We can relate this to an idea we saw in a different shiur 2 or 3 weeks ago from the Mar Nevuchim, where the Mar Nevuchim writes that Hirhuri Avera, where the Gemara writes that Hirhuri Avera Kashin Be Avera, right, to think about sins is even worse than doing the sin itself. So, I mean, the obvious question is, really? Yeah, I mean, what if I say I would have killed him? So that's worse than actually taking out a gun and shooting the guy. We don't think so. So the Rambam explains in Mar Nevuchim that to the extent to which God gave us a mouth and thoughts to distinguish us from the animals, you know, and our thoughts and our words are supposed to be what elevates us as holy people, a misuse of the mind or a misuse of the mouth is considered especially grievous in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, if you sin with your hands, okay, mela, right? Okay, you know, the hands are the more animalistic part of the person. But God gave you this mouth to speak Divrei Torah, and you sullied it by speaking Lashon Hara. Not only is Lashon Hara bad in its own right, but it's a misuse of this precious tool that God gave you. In other words, you know, your parents buy you a very, you know, a very fancy present. You know, let's say they get you some very, they get you a delicate watch. You know, some kind of state of the art watch. And what do you do with this watch? You use it as a door jam, right? So it's bad enough that you destroyed the watch, but you know, your parents put such care into buying you a watch, you know, that was so delicate and so pristine, so state-of-the-art, and you used it as a door jam. That's mamsha chutzpah. You know, you're denying, on a certain level, the gift that was given to you. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, I think that, on a deeper level, maybe that's the comparison Chazal say between the person who's speaking Lashon Hara and denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Davka, by speaking Lashon Hara, you're taking the gift that God gave you for the purpose of Kedusha, and you're using it for something totally the opposite of that. It's in a sense a kivyachol, a slap in the face of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's as if to deny that God gave us these gifts, you know, of the mind and of the mouth for a constructive purpose.
Says that the Simon Spinum buys Rishon among the Tachomim.
Right.
So maybe it makes things a little bit maybe more level.
Right. You know, so I hear what you're saying. Okay. So good. The Tam Shiluach Hamitzora Chutz Legimo Machanos Lirachek Shemes Avodazar Mishloshta. Avodazar, of course, is so grievous that of all of the sins, it has to be eradicated to the greatest extent. So when the mitzora, symbolizing Avodah Zarah, is sent out of the machaneh, he's not simply sent out of one machaneh, we throw him out of all three machanos, meaning Avodah Zarah has to be distanced to the ultimate degree. Right, the same with Lashon Hara. When a person speaks Lashon Hara, he needs to be separated from society, because we see that he can't function within society in a constructive, in a positive kind of way. So that's why the Mitzvah representing Avodah Zarah / Lashon Hara is sent away the furthest. V'chol zav kiziva shelo hu os al shuparis ba'arayas.
Now,
Lafuki machane yisrael she'ein bo kol kach kedusha. Again, as was already explained, the Zav represents the idea of Gili Arayos. Because, of course, the Zav, just on a physical level, is afflicted in a place that that represents the whole idea of Gili Arayos. So the Zav, Gili Arayos, need not be a distance as much as Avodah Zarah. Again, I don't think the Kli Yakar should be understood to say Gili Arayos isn't so bad. Gili Arayos clearly is very bad. But in the scale of things, Gili Arayos is not quite as bad as Avodah Zarah. Gili Arayos can't exist in the Machane Shechina, which is a place of great Kedusha, nor in the Machane Leviyah, which is also a place of great Kedusha, because Kedusha and Erva are incompatible with one another. But Gili Arayos, unfortunately, can continue to exist, you know, in the Machane Yisrael, where the degree of Kedusha is not quite as high as the Machane Shechina, the Machane Leviyah.
Isn't there a reason to kick him out of Machane Yisrael in order that he doesn't perform the same Avera over and over? I mean, if you put him in the Machane Kedusha, who's he going to contaminate? I mean, he's going to be alone and he won't be able to catch another disease or do something inappropriate.
Right, right. So I would suggest as follows. I'm not sure this is what the Kli Yakar means, but let me put it out there and you know, you'll tell me what you think. Avodah Zarah is a kind of sin that is unacceptable under any circumstances. While Gili Arayos as a sin is unacceptable under any circumstances, that which is behind Gili Arayos, in other words, the sexual act, is something which we don't kick out entirely. In other words, that does have its place in Judaism, you know, within the context of marriage, you know, so that's totally acceptable. So, you know, again, the sin of Gili Arayos is something which we distance ourselves from entirely, but, you know, the concept of erva, in other words, the concept of, you know, a sexual relationship between a man and a woman, is not something which we throw out entirely. In other words, you know, to take a different expression, we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You know, Avodah Zarah, kick the bum out. There's no place for Avodah Zarah in our religion whatsoever. Relations between men and women, or between a man and a woman who are married to one another, we're not kicking that out. You know, that's something which does have its place in Yiddishkeit.
In Parshas Kedoshim,
I hear that. Again, I think if you explain it in the way in which I'm explaining, I'm not sure if this is what the Kli Yakar means, but, you know, clearly prohibited Gili Arayos, you know, has no place in Eretz Yisrael and has all those dire consequences, v'chule, v'chule. But as opposed to Avodah Zarah, where the notion of worshipping a foreign god can never come into Yiddishkeit, the notion of relations between, you know, a man and a woman is not something which is foreign to Yiddishkeit. So Gili Arayos is kicked out, you know, entirely, but that which is a cousin of Gili Arayos, if you will, in other words, a healthy relationship within the context of marriage, we don't kick out. You know, there is room for that within Yiddishkeit.
I mean, the right and the wrong is very simple. That the Yid, the Kahanim, the Levim that lived in those camps were allowed to live with their wives.
Right. Right.
They weren't told, oh no, you have to go to Machane Yisrael if you want to, whatever.
Right. Yeah, again, you know, this is symbolic, right? In other words, you know, what we're suggesting is that the notion that Gili Arayos, quote unquote, the Zav, is only thrown out of two machanos as opposed to three machanos is to indicate that marital relations are not something that, you know, that Judaism rejects. You know, so I don't know that parallels, you know, the machanos exactly. Again, as you point out correctly, the Leviim are allowed to have tashmish with their wives, the Machane Leviyah. Right, even though the Zav is removed from the Machane Leviyah, right, so it doesn't parallel exactly, but again, the idea is that relations are removed from Jewish life up to a point, but not entirely. Right? What about the third sending away? V'chol tomei lo nefesh. Kigam zemora al ruach toim asher bekirba v'she'ed ovak pitli tome benefesh adam al yidei shvichas damim hanogea b'selen elokim kivyacho al kein roi shiyisrachik machne shchino ki hu pogem kovod hashchino. Right, the one who's tomei lo nefesh is representative of the one who shofech damim, and because the one who is shofech damim, who murders, is so to speak impugning the covet of the Shechina itself, because he's killing a person who's made b'selem elokim, so therefore that person who represents shvichas damim is sent away from the machane Shechina. Now again, if we try to fit this back into the paradigm the Kli Yakar is presenting, and the way we're understanding Kli Yakar, something somewhat strange emerges. So Avodah Zarah is super terrible. Throw Avodah Zarah out of three machanos. Gili Arayos, we said, it's not always so terrible. I mean, Gili Arayos itself is obviously terrible, but permissible relations between man and wife are okay. So in other words, Gili Arayos only gets thrown out of two machanos. The implication of the idea that Shvichas Damim is only thrown out of one machana is that Shvichas Damim, relatively speaking, is not so bad. Right? In other words, you really can't worship idols. You really shouldn't sleep with your friend's wife. But if you want to not, you know, you want to knock somebody off, you know, you want to murder somebody, okay, look, it's not recommended, it's not l'chatchila, you know, Baal Nefesh should be machmir, but sounds like, okay, relatively speaking, it's not so bad. Relatively speaking, it's not so bad. Really? You know, of the three Averos, it's not as bad as the other two? So let's try to say the following. And again, I'm not sure what this is the Kli Yakar means, but let's put it out there. If we're correct in what we said with Gili Arayos, namely, that the fact that Gili Arayos is Aser, true, but there is a cousin to Gili Arayos, which is Mutter, i.e., healthy marital relations, there is a cousin to Lo Sirtzach, which is also Mutter. There are a lot of cousins to Lo Sirtzach, which are Mutter. Right? A Bezdin is allowed to execute people. A Rodef is allowed to be killed. The Baba Machteres can be killed. Right? In other words, you know, our Torah does not prohibit the taking of human life under any circumstances. Right? I think it's the Meshech Chochma who writes that if you look at the Aseres HaDibros, when it says Lo Sirtzach, there's a tipcha by the word lo. Tipcha implies that there's a pause, which means, says the Meshech, I believe it's the Meshech Chochma, that when you read the pasuk, it's not Lo Sirtzach, right? As we say in the Tam Tachta, don't murder, but lo, comma, Tirtzach, meaning sometimes it is okay to quote unquote to murder. Right? Don't take this quote out of context, right? But in other words, there are times in Yiddishkeit where we are allowed to take a human life. Right? Whether through execution or through, you know, killing one person to save another person, right? In other words, killing a pursuer, a rodent. Right? And we don't hold that human life can never be taken under any circumstances. So in other words, Shvichas Damim is sent away, but not entirely, because there are plenty of examples in Torah where a life can be taken, and maybe even should be taken, under the right circumstances. What's that?
I'm better than Gila Arayos. That's in the second camp and not in the third.
So Gili Arayos, really, there's only one example of sexual relations which is permissible according to the Torah, and that's in the context of a marital relationship. You have more than one exception where you can take somebody's life, you know, in a judicial procedure, a rodef, right? You know, so you have more than one exception, so there seems to be more latitude over there than there is with Gili Arayos. Right, Arya, you know, Kohel Adam, you know, all these kind of situations.
Okay, if somebody killed in the Midbar, really, would he have to go? Which camp was he have to leave?
They didn't have the Arya Miklat yet.
No, I'm saying Gemara says he had to go to Machan Leviya.
No, again, the Pasuk says that a Tomei Lo Nefesh, which means somebody who came into contact with a dead body, not a Rotzeach.
Right?
So he's not allowed to go into the Machane Shechina, can't come into the Mishkan. Right? In the Pashut of Pshat level, that has nothing to do with a murderer. The Medrash homiletically says that the Tomei Lanefesh is really talking about the Aveiro Shvichus Domin. Right? But in Halacha, we're not talking about sending the Rotzeach anywhere, we're just talking about how the idea of Ritzicha has to be distanced from the Machane Shechina. But why only one Machane? So that's what we're talking about. Right? So So that's again the starting point of the Kli Yakar was, where do we see this idea in Pashut Pshat, you know, on any level, that the Pasuk is talking about sins that bring about the galus? His answer is because once the first couple of prakim of Bamidbar have set up the Jewish machane in all of its glory, sending out people from the machane is symbolic of sending out traits and sins from the machane, because if these sins are not distanced from the machane, ultimately they will destroy the machane from within. Right? So again, it's obviously not Pashut Pshat in the Psukim, but it's not totally distanced, totally unrelated to Pashut Pshat either. And then he writes, Remez Ladovar, consider the following Remez. Tes min tome Remez l'shvichus domin hanola l'tes chadoshim. He takes the word tome. Tome is composed of three letters, tes, mem, and aleph. Tes, he says, represents shvichus domim, the murder of the human being who was created after tes, 9 months. And he says that's why, by the way, in the future, when Moshiach comes, there are going to be 9 orei miklot to correspond to the 9 months of conception that go into the creation of a human being. Mem hints at the idea of Gili Arayos, the 40 days where the floodwaters came down, which, and the floodwaters to a large extent punished the world for Gili Arayos. That's one of the sins that's mentioned, you know, in the Pasuk, Ki Shchisko Basar is Darko Al Ha'aretz, right? The people engaged in Gili Arayos. And Aleph hints at the idea of Avodah Zarah, where one who worships Avodah Zarah denies the belief in the Aleph, in the one true God, who's ultimately responsible for everything. Tes Mem Aleph Tomei, ultimately Tomei Lo Nefesh, that which makes you Tomei, that which makes the Machane Tomei, ultimately hints at these three sins and all of the havoc, you know, that they bring about when they are introduced into the Machane. It's a very, very beautiful piece from the Kli Yakar that again links the Pashut Pshat to the Medrash, and also gives us a lot to think about just in terms of, you know, the need to keep these Averos away from Klal Yisrael.
I wonder, there's also kind of another connection between Din Metzora and Avodah Zarah. I mean, the more Avodah Zarah in other places says that Avodah Zarah is like, in a sense, like as if it's made, like as if it's dead.
Right.
Some do Ba'ala, the other do Kher Mason. You find that Avodah Zarah is referred to like something that's dead. And I think Metzora also...
Chashav Kemes.
Right.
So very nice. There's a connection between Mesora and Avodah Zarah in that regard as well. Yeah, very nice. Yishikayich. Okay. So as I mentioned at the outset, you know, as we go into the summer, Beth Hashem, we're going to be learning between Mincha and Ma'ariv, as opposed to, you know, we're starting after Mincha. We'll try to keep it going after Ma'ariv as well. You know, as a continuation. Next week we're going to be doing that Thursday. During the subsequent weeks, Be'ezus Hashem, we'll go back to the Wednesday schedule. But again, in all cases, you know, the Shiur is going to be following Mincha. Okay,
great.
Good Shabbos. We'll see everybody next week.